On this Good Friday, a special broadcast about the work of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live on this Good Friday. This is a special broadcast we put together for you, really focusing on the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, the key issues that we fight for every single day, kind of the base of why we exist and what we fight for at the American Center for Law and Justice, and what we're fighting for, not always talking about on the broadcast, not always focusing in on the live radio broadcast where we're breaking down the live news of the day, the breaking news of the day, or the hot button issues of the week. But at our core, what we always have teams working on at the American Center for Law and Justice. You'll be hearing about our work involving the persecuted church, Pastor Saw in China, who is imprisoned in China because of his Christian faith. And this is the core work that you know that we've done with Pastor Brunson, that we have done it with work in Iran, that we're doing work all over the world and for persecuted Christians. Whether it is on the broad scale, looking at the issue of the genocide of Christians by what has been now a decimated Islamic state, or at the very personal level, like Pastor Saw's situation. We work in that area, and we have our teams from around the world working on that area. Of course, always fighting to protect life at conception. And so our work on the Title X funding, three different briefs filed. And this is a unique, actually for the ACLJ, though the core of our work has always been as a pro-life organization. We're filing and getting these briefs ready at the district court level, which is something sometimes we're more at the appellate level in the federal courts, but we're fighting these at the district court level. Three different cases. We'll be talking about that Title X funding and religious liberty victories in schools. All issues that I think you know that we work on at the ACLJ, but you sometimes may think, well, it kind of pops up and then it goes away. These are always being worked on. We always have legal work involving whether it's protecting life, on the abortion issue, whether it is persecuted Christians like Pastor Saw, and whether it is, again, the free speech and religious liberty in our schools. All issues being fought on. And unique perspectives, sometimes working with cities in lawsuits, sometimes working against the school districts, working on behalf of students. So uniquely positioned at the ACLJ, where, again, we work on all these issues. We don't always get to talk about them on the broadcast, and certainly we don't always get to focus our entire broadcast on these issues. But I think on a Good Friday, you may be traveling, you may be learning about, maybe a listener to the broadcast, and you may know us through other reasons why you know who Jay Sekulow is, or you've learned about the ACLJ, but you don't know about the core of our mission and what we have always been fighting for. This is the core of what makes up what the American Center for Law and Justice is all about. You can find out more about us at ACLJ.org. We post updates, multiple updates throughout the week, every day, on issues that we discuss here on the broadcast and on issues we don't even get to discuss on the broadcast. We have a limited amount of time to bring issues forward every day, but we are able to bring them to you again each day through the week. And again, you can go to ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge right now, too. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ, because whatever you're able to support the ACLJ financially is matched by another donor, which means effectively whatever you donate is doubled. You're only charged what you donate, but we have someone ready to match that donation. But you've got to take that initial step to make the donation. So again, it's ACLJ.org, a great time to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, and a great place to go. If you hear about issues today on the broadcast and you want to learn more, you can find that information at ACLJ.org. And we always give you a way to get involved, whether it's not just through the financial angle, through supporting the work of the ACLJ, but also through a grassroots approach at ACLJ.org. We'll be back. Again, a lot to talk about today with Pastor Saw imprisoned in China, religious liberty in schools, and again, the fight for the unborn.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking about the case of Pastor John Saw. Our team, as I mentioned already, was in Washington working on this case. Our video team was able to attend as well to some of the meetings and to get some of the interviews. Take a look.
My dad is a very caring, very dedicated, very passionate missionary and very passionate pastor. He found Jesus Christ after traveling to the States when he was in his early 20s, and he went to a seminary here in the States.
Pastor John Saw was ordered by a Chinese court to spend 7 years behind bars, apparently in retaliation for his humanitarian work in Burma. John Saw's wife, Jamie, and sons Ben and Amos argue that his sentence should be reduced in light of his decades of humanitarian work.
I was carrying the burden of the case myself, our family was, with help with some advisors. So I was just, you know, working my way through it and writing letters to congressmen on my own. As, you know, I'm a teacher, I don't have a lot of connections, so it was a daunting task. I met Ms. Hale in D.C. last summer at a religious freedom conference, and she gave me her card. She offered to help me, and I'm just so grateful to her. I'm so grateful.
One of the most important ways we can defend religious liberty and defend the type of cause that my father devoted his life to is to just speak up and say that this is important. And that's something that my father really dedicated his life to, which is bringing Christianity and the good news of Christ to people in parts of the world that needed it the most.
John's family, including his wife and younger son in North Carolina, and Amos, his eldest son in Michigan, argue that the pastor's sentence should be reduced in light of his decades of humanitarian work.
His wife, Jamie, his sons, Ben and Amos, are putting a personal face on the story of persecution. Nothing so powerful as having the persecuted's family in front of elected officials and asking them to engage for him.
It's been very encouraging to me to see the current administration taking such a strong stance on religious freedom around the world. This is a perfect case for them to focus on.
My father's been in prison for 2 years now. We feel the time is now. There's a sense of urgency there that we need to get his story out and make people aware that there are people like my father who are in prison in foreign countries for their faith, for trying to help other people and spread the gospel.
So we just saw part of the North Carolina House delegation, and they have agreed to engage from the congressional side. So we'll coordinate with the House and the Senate, hopefully time their response to match the administration's response. And also, hopefully, it'll come the same week that Ben and Amos are going to be able to speak out on behalf of their father on an international stage. So the goal here is to get the United States to speak with one voice and at the same time.
We just met with Senator Lankford's office, and Senator Lankford's a great advocate for Christians who are persecuted for their faith all over the world. He has committed to helping, you know, do whatever it takes to get Pastor Saw out of prison.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well. The congressman seemed really attentive.
We'll get that. And
they realize that the amount of time to take action is growing pretty narrow.
We feel really strongly that this story should be shared and that people should know.
What you just saw was the footage that we had our team put together for you. I want to go right to Washington first, though. I think it's important for people to understand. Fan, what are we asking for when we sit down with members of the Congress?
Well, we're asking for a couple of things, Jay. First of all, we're asking for the United States Congress to speak out in the first place. But obviously, in order for them to advocate for a person who's been detained by a foreign country, you have to tell them the story. And, Jay, there is no better way to tell the story than to bring the wife of the prisoner, to bring the sons of the prisoner directly to them, and to let them tell not only the story of the case, Jay, but the story of their life and why their husband and father was in China in the first place. Of course, you've told the story, but it's to serve the people of China, the people of Burma. And Jay, Jamie, his wife, and his sons, Ben and Amos, were able to do that so effectively. So their ask, our ask alongside of them, was for the United States Congress to engage their counterparts in China on behalf of Pastor Saw and to ask for his release. Jay, this does not have to be an antagonistic relationship. This can be the United States government just simply putting the case back in front of the Chinese government and saying, look, there have been these arbitrary delays. It is time to actually hear the facts of the case. And we think that the facts of the case will warrant his immediate release after 2 years of being detained and a reunification with his family. Jay, I know we heard from Ben. He is actually engaged to be married. He wants his father to be here for that wedding. So that was a powerful message for him to share with members of the United States Congress. And it gives them an incentive to engage. Jay, in many cases, these were North Carolina representatives, North Carolina senators. Yep. So it's actually their job to represent the Saw family.
So Janice on Facebook says, no one should be in prison because of their faith. Can the U.S. government help towards a resolution? Well, we've just told you, House and Senate fully engaged now. White House, including the President and Vice President office, fully engaged. What about the State Department, Cece?
Yes, State Department fully engaged. We personally met with Ambassador Brownback, who is the Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, and he is a great champion, just like President Trump, for Americans. And so very much engaged. We're very thankful for that assistance.
Harriet, you see the crackdown going on in China generally, though. We're talking about the individual case because it's important to point that out. But there's been an increase in crackdown.
There has been an increasing crackdown by the Chinese. But it's also important to remember that there is a new sheriff in town. I think President Trump continues to demonstrate that he can negotiate with China, for instance, on economic affairs or trade. But he can also put America's interests first rather than lead from behind. So rather than exercise, if you will, strategic patience, he is prepared to act. And hopefully, President Trump, along with the State Department, the House, and the Senate, they will place pressure on the Chinese to release Pastor Saw, who has been held unjustly for 2 years.
So, Jordan, when we look at kind of where we're at, we've got this where I call it the critical phase. And I think we've increased the we've gone past the threshold. The threshold is, how do you engage the House and Senate? Done. How do you engage the Secretary of State's office, State Department? Done. How do you engage the President and the Vice President? Done. That's all good signs. Now we've got international pressure as well.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, getting people involved through the grassroots efforts through ACLJ, through our members for the Be Heard Project as well. And then ultimately, keeping that pressure mounted, keeping the people engaged in the grassroots side of this, while the conversations are ongoing and the discussions happen between our government, and whether it's our government officials, whether it's whether it's the President of the United States and the President of China, or the elected representatives, ambassador level, State Department level, making sure this is on the radar. This is not, again, when you're talking about countries like the United States. Or in this instance, China, it's a lot of work to get on the radar of the Chinese government, and for an individual to be on the radar of the national Chinese government to the president of China is a very specific person. And so we talk these broad crackdowns and broad issues that Christians are facing. Here's the example of how the persecution gets personal where it's not just shutting down of a building, but how the imprisonment occurs, what kind of charges get brought, how those charges get expanded upon, how the case continues, the imprisonment continues. I mean, this is someone who, in a sense, I mean, has already suffered enough, has suffered a serious punishment. I think that can't go. Again, we're talking 2 years in on a Chinese prison sentence.
All right. I think the other fundamental issue that we've got to deal with here is the impact this is having on the family. But what's your sense? You've been with the family, Cece. Give us a little bit of the personal side of this.
Yeah, you know, they're heartbroken, and they always are, because it's a husband and a father that's wrongfully imprisoned in China. And they miss their dad. They miss their, Jamie misses her husband, and they want him back in the United States. Ben wants to be able to get married and go on with his life, and he doesn't want to do that without his father. So it's heartbreaking for them.
All right, so I'll tell you what you look at in a situation like this is the reality that you've got to move. From a standpoint of congressional interest, where would you rank this one right now, Than? I know there was not a lot of discussion about this before we got involved at the congressional level, so you had to really build it from scratch.
We did, Jay. It's elevated now, and having the family in front of them, getting them to hear the story directly from the family was very critical. But Jay, one of the things that we always do, and I know, you know, you lead us in this effort, we're always looking for leverage points. And you know, fortunately, we have a real leverage point at this point. Sometimes it's pressure. Jay, in this instance, we also have an additional leverage point. It's those economic talks that are taking place with China. And again, this administration has done a great job when there's an economic issue on the table of using human rights cases as a way for the parties to find some common ground. So, Jay, there are opportunities now where the United States is sitting across from China, and we know that this is now one of those issues that is coming up. We know that this human rights case is in the middle of those economic talks where both countries, Jay, want to find a solution. So I think the congressional interest being elevated was accomplished last week. I do think it's critical, but I also think it's critical that there are both positive and negative leverage points that we've identified, and we know that the administration is committed to using both of them. We're grateful to them. Jay, I think all of those things are going to be critical for a positive outcome here.
All right, we're working on this case and working on it aggressively. We'll take your comments again on Facebook and Periscope. We've got a couple of those we want to read. We have more coming up in the broadcast again. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, I can't think of a better day to do it as we work on these cases. And we talk about it globally, but at the end of the day, these cases come down to an individual person. This case, it's John Saul. He's a U.S. permanent resident. Families are all American citizens. He's been in China, working in China for decades. All of a sudden, gets arrested, and here we are. All right, we'll take again. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, especially in a matching challenge month.
Yeah, that's right. ACLJ.org. You can double the impact of your donation. A $20 donation becomes $40 for the ACLJ. Our matching challenge up now at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We're just talking about what Planned Parenthood is not getting, and that's called money. It was a shameful moment for reproductive rights in this country. Georgia legislators passed an abortion at 6 weeks of pregnancy, a ban on abortions at 6 weeks of pregnancy. Governors have signed similar bans into law in Mississippi and Kentucky, and lawmakers in more than a dozen other states have introduced still more bans this year. Enough is enough. Take a stand against these outrageous bans. Add your name. By the way, the letter says, listen up, politicians. No abortion bans ever, Cece. That's Planned Parenthood's position. Yeah. They're not hiding it, folks. Here it is. I mean, right. This is they're aggressively out there dealing with this.
Yeah, and in their way that they always do, you know, it's threatening. And it's ridiculous because now these states are finally acknowledging, which they should have all along, that unborn babies are babies and they deserve their life protected. And Planned Parenthood, of course, wants to fight tooth and nail against that because they cannot stand to lose the money which they make off of killing babies. That's the bottom line.
All right. So on the Title X funding, Than, let's first talk about, we filed comments. Let's talk about what that is.
Yeah. So the Department of Health and Human Services issued a new rule that would just make this program comply with statutory law and make sure that the dollars are not used for abortion. Jay, they opened that up for organizations and outside people to file comments. We filed legal comments specifically citing the statutory authority saying, look, this law was never intended to fund abortions. And yet Planned Parenthood has become the leading recipient of it. Jay, that rule just went final a couple of weeks ago. It is now beginning to go into effect. And it is the precise reason that this change that you're talking about where pro-lifers can receive these funding, why it's happened. And Jay, just one more thing. It's going to get even better because Planned Parenthood, starting in May, will have to demonstrate that they have physical separation for their abortion facilities and financial separation. So even the dollars that Planned Parenthood is still getting, that will go away unless they can start to demonstrate that separation.
So we filed comments with HHS, got a good result, but there's also three cases in litigation right now.
That's right. Planned Parenthood does not like when you chip away at any of their funding, especially under Title X, where, they, as Than has said, they were basically the only group qualified as a health provider that also provided abortions and referred abortions. Now that you don't have to be one that refers abortions, that opens it up to lots of health centers, including pro-life pregnancy centers. And one has already gotten a $5 million grant, $5 million right out of Planned Parenthood's pockets. So we've got cases going on right now that the ACLJ is involved in. The first brief we will file is in the Northern District of California. It's California versus Azar. So the state of California taking issue with the Title X changes, not cuts, changes to Title X. All it does is open up Title X funding to health providers that don't refer to abortions. That is what is so upsetting to Planned Parenthood. Now, coming down the line, Planned Parenthood's going to have to show under Title X how they keep their funds separate. That hasn't kicked in yet, so I can't imagine how they'll treat that, considering all of the laws. That's how they get federal funding. The second case, so that gets filed on April 10th. Then we're going to be ready to file in Oregon Federal District Court in the American Medical Association the AMA joining with Planned Parenthood versus Secretary of HHS Azar. We have to file our brief on April 15th. And then the third, also on April 15th, is in a separate Oregon case. This is the state of Oregon versus Azar, but it's a 21-state lawsuit. So 21 states joining with Oregon against the HHS director. That's who gets named there. But it's the Trump administration. That's on April 15th. Notice where every one of these has been filed.
California.
What's the circuit court ultimately that will see these cases?
Andy's favorite.
Yes, the ninth. The most liberal left-wing, ideologically leftist court in the United States.
The good news about that is generally if they win the case at the Ninth Circuit, it's generally overturned at the Supreme Court like 82% of the time.
That's the virtue of it.
What's interesting is even when they have the 21 states coming together, they pick an Oregon.
Yeah.
So that they can be in the Ninth Circuit.
So, Cece, how significant do you think that? I mean, I think this is a huge moment for the life issue. I personally think this is.
I think it is, too.
Pro-life centers getting money.
Yes.
Litigation being filed, but being able to fight back aggressively as we are.
And I think the reason that Planned Parenthood is scrambling so much is they feel it and they see it, too. That this is a pro-life administration, that they are standing up for life, which we should have been doing all along. and Planned Parenthood is scared to death because we have the facts and we have the truth behind us.
So we're filing a brief in California, Northern District of California, April 10th. On April 15th, we file a brief in the Oregon Federal District Court on April 15th. Then a third brief will be filed in the Oregon Federal District Court on,
challenge.
Yeah, the state challenge also on the 15th. So, and that's a 21-state lawsuit. Your support of the American Center for Law and Justice allows us to do it. That's why when you support our Matching Challenge campaign this month, it makes a huge, huge difference. But, Harry, also from a policy standpoint, the fact that the pro-life center is qualified is a big deal.
It's an absolutely big deal. And I think it's nice to see Planned Parenthood have to play defense. Keep in mind, Planned Parenthood has generally been on the offense in hot pursuit of federal and state funding in order to ensure more and more profits from a policy that comes perilously close to infanticide. It's also nice to see the context. First, pro-life centers are now being funded. Planned Parenthood is trying to go to court in order to defend federal monies, and in some state cases, they've had to go to state courts as well. But also, we should keep all of this in context. This pro-abortion move by many individuals started in Virginia and in New York. These states led the nation in supporting bills that essentially support infanticide. And so we now have Governor Northam in Virginia, who supported essentially infanticide, now signing a bill making animal cruelty a felony.
Yeah. What I was going to say right before Harry was that I believe all this scrambling from Planned Parenthood, the lawsuits, the fact that we're chipping away at their Title X funding, and now, wow, other groups are going to be able to even go through the process of you request the funding, you have to put applications for it. It's not easy. But Planned Parenthood was used to it because, one, they were like the only game in town. You had to be this health provider that also provided or referred abortions, so and then also did some other services, even though Than always points out those are like in the low thousands, but they provide some other services. So they were basically the only group that could apply. Now that they've got competition, what do? File lawsuits. Because $1 billion a year organization is so scared of what will happen once these pro-life pregnancy centers already won, granted $5 million, who knows what would be coming next, because you no longer, it was so sick that to get these funds, you had to provide or refer abortion services. No longer, no more.
So, Cece, as we close this half hour out, big day for the pro-life movement, big month, really.
It's a big month, and even what Jordan said, that HHH announcement, starting in May, abortion will no longer be considered a method of family planning, and it should never have been. You don't plan a family by killing your baby. So, you know, that is wonderful that kind of language is getting out there.
Folks, your support of the ACLJ allows us to do this, getting comments into HHS to get the rules written correctly. Then when the lawsuits start, because you knew they were going to happen, so we got three of them now, all due by April 15th. Your support of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org allows us to fight back on this. We'll be sending out some emails on this in the days ahead because now we've got three concrete deadlines. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Great. Great month in March. April's off to a good start. ACLJ.org for that. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the border, some of the security issues there. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live on this Good Friday. This is a special broadcast we put together for you, really focusing on the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, the key issues that we fight for every single day, kind of the base of why we exist and what we fight for at the American Center for Law and Justice, and what we're fighting for, not always talking about on the broadcast, not always focusing in on the live radio broadcast where we're breaking down the live news of the day, the breaking news of the day, or the hot button issues of the week. But at our core, what we always have teams working on at the American Center for Law and Justice. You'll be hearing about our work involving the persecuted church, Pastor Saw in China, who is imprisoned in China because of his Christian faith. And this is the core work that you know that we've done with Pastor Brunson, that we have done it with work in Iran, that we're doing work all over the world and for persecuted Christians. Whether it is on the broad scale, looking at the issue of the genocide of Christians by what has been now a decimated Islamic state, or at the very personal level, like Pastor Saw's situation. We work in that area, and we have our teams from around the world working on that area. Of course, always fighting to protect life at conception. And so our work on the Title X funding, three different briefs filed. And this is a unique, actually, for the ACLJ, though the core of our work has always been as a pro-life organization. We're filing and getting these briefs ready at the district court level, which is something sometimes we're more at the appellate level in the federal courts, but we're fighting these at the district court level. Three different cases. We'll be talking about that Title X funding and religious liberty victories in schools. All issues that I think you know that we work on at the ACLJ, but you sometimes may think, well, it kind of pops up and then it goes away. These are always being worked on. We always have legal work involving whether it's protecting life, on the abortion issue, whether it is persecuted Christians like Pastor Saw, and whether it is, again, the free speech and religious liberty in our schools, all issues being fought on, and unique perspectives, sometimes working with cities in lawsuits, sometimes working against the school districts, working on behalf of students. So uniquely positioned at the ACLJ, where, again, we work on all these issues. We don't always get to talk about them on the broadcast, and certainly we don't always get to focus our entire broadcast on these issues. But I think on a Good Friday, you may be traveling, you may be learning about, maybe a listener to the broadcast, and you may know us through other reasons why you know who Jay Sekulow is, or you've learned about the ACLJ, but you don't know about the core of our mission and what we have always been fighting for. This is the core of what makes up what the American Center for Law and Justice is all about. You can find out more about us at ACLJ.org. We post updates, multiple updates throughout the week, every day, on issues that we discuss here on the broadcast and on issues we don't even get to discuss on the broadcast. We have a limited amount of time to bring issues forward every day, but we are able to bring them to you again each day through the week. And again, you can go to ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge right now, too. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ, because whatever you're able to support the ACLJ financially is matched by another donor, which means effectively whatever you donate is doubled. You're only charged what you donate, but we have someone ready to match that donation. But you've got to take that initial step to make the donation. So again, it's ACLJ.org, a great time to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, and a great place to go. If you hear about issues today on the broadcast and you want to learn more, you can find that information at ACLJ.org. And we always give you a way to get involved, whether it's not just through the financial angle, through supporting the work of the ACLJ, but also through a grassroots approach at ACLJ.org. We'll be back. Again, a lot to talk about today with Pastor Saw imprisoned in China, religious liberty in schools, and again, the fight for the unborn.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Was this like, how many? So this is old school Jay Sekulow Band. Talking about old school, we're talking about schools because we've got to win. We don't talk about these a lot, but let me tell you how the ACLJ started. We started, some of our first cases were gospel literature distribution. We had cases involving free speech and on the abortion issue. And then we had this whole series of school cases. Andy and I worked on those, and then I'm going to go back a long time. First case was in 1986 at the Supreme Court. Next major case was 1989. We were still in the Rhodes Haverty building.
That's right, in the Atlanta. Old Rhodes Haverty building.
Yeah. And we had two of those cases, and we had the Mergens case in Lamb's Chapel kind of back to back. So like 90 and 90, 89 and then 91.
Not to forget Coquinda.
No, right in the middle of it, right. So Abby's got a case. We don't talk about these a lot because we've won them for so many decades, but this is one that involves Bible confiscation, if you can believe it, in 2019. Tell us the story about this case.
So we have a third grader who was bringing his Bible to recess, and that's how he would choose to spend his recess. It was open recess. Children could run around or do what they please for that amount of time. And he began engaging. Students became curious and wanted to read the Bible along with him, and then they wanted to discuss the Bible.
So do you know if it was like a children's Bible or what it was? None of the details?
I mean, I don't have details on what kind of Bible it was, but a teacher became aware that the student was reading from the Bible, instructed the student not to read from the Bible. Okay. The Bible was confiscated.
Okay, let's stop. So you're in a free time. You got whatever it is, 45 minutes of free time. They're outside or inside or wherever they're doing the recess. Do whatever you want. Hang with your friends. Do activities, whatever you want. This student brings his Bible, reading his Bible. A couple of kids want to come over and read it with him and want to know what it is and talk about it. Teacher comes in and says, you can't do that.
Right.
And doesn't just stop it, but then you're saying, when you say confiscate the Bible, what do you mean?
Took the Bible away.
Physically grabbed the Bible?
Physically took the Bible away at some point from the child. The principal ends up with a Bible and again instructs the child.
So let's back up because this is important for people to understand. Your fourth grader, so how old is a fourth grader? 9, 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 9 or 10 has the Bible confiscated, and the teacher gets it and then sends this like they're treating it like it's hazardous material, and they send it to the principal. Then what happens?
Well, the principal, again, instructs the child that he can no longer bring his Bible to school, not just to recess, to school, period. And that
so no Bibles in the school.
No Bibles in the school, and that he cannot meet with other students during recess to discuss the Bible or religious beliefs.
All right, let's stop right there for a second. So first of all, students do not surrender their rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. Tinker versus Des Moines Independent School District, 1969, I believe. I may be off by a year or two. But Tinker versus Des Moines. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the Supreme Court case. So, Harry, that established precedent is about, you know, 50 years old, 40-something years old.
I think that is correct, but I think it's also important to note that we live in a contemporary moment that is marked by profound cultural division. In 2007, I wrote a law review article entitled Shaming Kindergartners, Channeling Dred Scott, Freedom of Expression Rights in Public Schools. And with respect to that particular article, I focused on an attempt to take from a five-year-old a mural which basically had Jesus Christ prominently displayed in fighting for the environment. And so they took this poster, really, from the child, and this then sparked a case that went up to the United States Supreme Court. So I think we are dealing with a root and branch effort by a number of people to remove religion from public schools. And I think the ACLJ is doing a great job fighting back.
You know, Andy, you talked about old school. I mean, we had a lot of these cases back in the 90s and 80s.
Yes. Yeah, so,
I mean there's like a ton of them. I mean, there really was.
We would get calls and letters from parents and from relatives of kids who were trying to simply read the gospel in the public school or discuss it, and the principals misunderstanding, and in many cases, yes, misapprehending what the law was, thinking that, no, I can't allow this. Well, we set them right, and the child was allowed to do what the child should be allowed
to do. Imagine how freaked out you are as a 9 or 10-year-old. It's hard for most of us to imagine these days, but if you've got young kids, you can imagine, yeah, that a principal comes and yanks your Bible away and then goes on to tell you, not just that, but that you're also prohibited. I'm sure they didn't use that language. If they did, the 10-year-old must be really confused and upset. Prohibited from meeting with other Christians during recess.
That's basically what it was.
I mean, principal said that to him. You're prohibited from meeting with other Christians during recess. You're telling that to a 9 or 10-year-old child in the fourth grade, and the ACLJ gets involved.
We're going to get into that. So the Bible ends up at the principal's office, right?
Right.
Then what happens?
And then he's then given the instruction that not only can he not bring his Bible, you can't talk about Jesus and your religious beliefs with other children during recess. And then the parent contacts the ACLJ.
Okay, so was this a contact we got by internet?
Yes.
The old days, it used to be a letter or a phone call. Now it's right online. So mm-hmm. they filled. And by the way, if you go to ACLJ.org, there's a form you can go to. It says need legal assistance, and that's how this came in. So for people to understand, because we don't talk about these cases much anymore. Mm-hmm. You ended up with the contact, or your team did. So what happened then?
We do. So within 24 hours, we try to immediately reach out to that parent. And we did, gathered the information, prepared a demand letter, and sent it off to the school immediately.
All right. So you sent it off to the school. And hold a picture of it up. So we sent basically a demand letter, correct? Mm-hmm. Here's what it looks like, folks. There it is. Can we get it on? Abby's holding it. There you go. So that's on ACLJ letterhead. It's a formal legal demand. What did we ask for?
Well, we outline the law, which here is undisputable and very, very clear. And then we just demand assurances that the child is going to be allowed to bring his Bible and read it during any non-instructional time during school, to talk about his religious beliefs unhindered and without harassment, and assurances that they now fully understand how the law applies to the situation and will not impinge upon student rights again.
So what did they come back with? So that was our demand. So we sent out a letter saying, this is what the law is. This is what you have to do, defending the student's right to have the Bible in school. And then what did they come back and say?
So the school responds, the school district's council responds typically to the letter, to our letters. And in this case, they assure us that they're going to abide by federal law. They never admit that what they did was illegal, but they provide assurances that they will abide by federal law from here on out. And they assured us that the student would now be allowed to bring his Bible to school and read it during non-instructional time.
So the end result, Harry, is the policy basically just simply follows the law.
Well, one of the big issues, of course, in this whole area is what is the law and what should the law be? In the United States, everyone has the right to freedom of expression, including the right to religious freedom. On the other hand, public school principals, who in my judgment lack a basic understanding of the United States Constitution, seek to enforce an exclusionary perspective with respect to religion. So bringing a Bible to the school from the perspective of a principal or a teacher sometimes is seen as offensive. This is inconsistent with the law as adjudicated by the United States Supreme Court. We all enjoy the right of freedom of religion, and the school cannot enforce a particular religious preference. That is my understanding of the law and what the law should be.
But what's so interesting here, Andy, I find is we litigated these cases. I'm trying to think the first one sitting in that office that we had in Atlanta in 1987, 86. And it was, the law was actually not crystal clear then, but was clearly going in our direction. Then we had the two big Supreme Court wins on those issues, the Bible study case, Mergens, and then Lamb's Chapel, where you couldn't treat religion differently than anything else. And you thought that should end it. And here we are in 2019, 30 years later.
Yeah, 33 years later, 36 years later, and we're talking about the same thing. You would have thought that the ideas and the concepts and precepts enunciated by the Supreme Court would have percolated down to the high school principals and the teachers. But 36 years later, we're still fighting the same battle, albeit in isolated circumstances. But the important thing is that Abby wrote a letter. I read the letter, an excellent letter, to the point, cited the cases, the statutes, the law, very persuasively and in a nice fashion. It wasn't in your face. It was just, let me tell you, on the assumption that you don't understand and you're ignorant of the law, what it is. And having seen that, they literally had the road to Damascus revelation and realized that this is what you have to let this child do.
So we now have two more contacts.
We do. This is not as uncommon as you would think. So we have one in which a teacher overheard a student talking about Jesus and instructed her privately not to talk about Jesus any longer.
Okay, I'm going to talk about that when we come back from the break. What's the other one?
It's a very similar one to that.
All right, so we're going to do that, and we're going to update you on the Buddhist meditation cases. A little old school ACLJ for a couple of segments here. I think it's a nice break from the others. We'll take your calls on all this, 800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge.
That's right. Another matching challenge month, so it's a great time to double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. Let me explain it for you. So if you donate $25 right now online by your credit card at aclj.org, we have a donor ready to match that. You've got to make the initial donation, but they're ready to match that $25. All your charge is $25. But essentially, you've raised $50 for the ACLJ, doubling the impact of your donation at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, for those of you that like our music, we actually had some of our band, not everybody, but some of our band in yesterday to kind of warm up the chops and get ready to go again, and we had a good time. We may be doing a live event. Looks like we are at the end of April, be the last day of our matching challenge campaign. So we're looking at doing a live event from our studio here. We'll have a live audience. Like Jordan will host it like last time. We had a lot of fun with that. It'll be a new set list, so that should be fun. All right, so we were talking about, so we had one Bible confiscation case resolved successfully. Now there are two others. Let's talk about those.
We have two others involving school instruction to children that they can't speak about their religious beliefs at school. So in one instance, the child was instructed privately and then kind of criticized and admonished in front of the entire classroom because the teacher then announced the instruction to the entire classroom and essentially instructed the children, you cannot talk about Jesus. That's something that your parents do at home. You can do with your parents, but not here in school.
So, Harry, you're shaking your head. This was the common misconception that existed throughout the 80s and 90s, and evidently in some schools in 2019.
I think that's true, but I think it's also important to note that this presumption still exists culturally. So the question becomes, given our contemporary moment with profound cultural division, particularly coming from global elites, can students talk about religion, particularly a Judeo-Christian religion? Philosopher Daniel Dennett has argued that the evolution of religion reflects the stubborn persistence of a bad meme from which inoculation and isolation is required. And this exclusionary perspective suggests that parents who teach religion should be subject to charges of child abuse. So within our public schools, independent of the judiciary, we have a sense that Judeo-Christian beliefs are offensive, they ought to be excluded, and parents and their children who still believe in Judeo-Christian teaching, those individuals should be subject to either removal from school or they should be told they cannot speak about Jesus, even though, of course, many of these schools allow alternative religious teachings, which I think Abby can talk about. So I think we still have a problem, and the problem is located largely in public schools who misunderstand the Supreme Court's jurisprudence on the First Amendment.
Go ahead, Abby.
Well, and it's, as Harry said, not only are we instructing children that they can't talk about their Judeo-Christian beliefs, but on the other spectrum of that, it's okay to talk about any other religious beliefs. In fact, it's okay for teachers to instruct children on other religious beliefs.
You have one of those cases, too, right now. Yeah,
we do.
We do have an inquiry. Yeah,
we
go ahead and talk about this one.
So in New York, we have a situation in which an elementary school-aged child was subjected to instruction on Oracle cards, very similar to tarot cards. And each child was instructed to pick an oracle card, instructed to research what that oracle card meant. And somehow tied in with that, we also had a discussion of spirit animals.
Spirit animals. So that practice you can do, teach them what the Christians believe about the Lord's Prayer, and you'd have a constitutional meltdown. So I used to make this argument, and a friend of mine actually came up with this phrase, that they treat religion like it's asbestos in the ceiling tile, and it's got to be hazardous material, and you got to have like special gloves to do it. That's why you confiscate the Bible. But I will say this. There are members of the United States Senate. I thought about this then. Senator Lankford was in that piece we played during the break. There are members of the United States House and Senate that are concerned about this.
There are members of the United States Senate that are concerned about it, but Jay, there are also their colleagues who actually make some of the same attacks on nominees that are to be federal judges or members of the cabinet. True. Religion seems to be a place that disqualifies them for federal services. Well, we had that situation with Dianne Feinstein and others, but you're right. Senator Lankford's been a champion on this. There are others. Jay, I had a couple of thoughts while you were talking with Abby there. Number one, How proud of that fourth grader must those parents be that he would choose to read a Bible at recess? He's ahead in life of where I was as a fourth grader, I'll tell you that. But the other thing, the other thought I had, the reason the law is correct on this, Jay, in many ways is because of the work that we did do 20 years ago, but it still takes the people whose rights are infringed upon standing up and asking for our help and actually asserting those rights. Otherwise, the situations that Abby describes, Jay, those would carry. We do have to fight against them when they occur. Otherwise, those abuses will win the day.
Yeah, I think that, look, I think standing up for these parents is key. We did get a great question on Facebook, and that was more on this Buddhist meditation practice issue. So where are we on that? I know you've had conversations back. What's the status? I still see, when I see the contacts every morning, I still see we're getting those from time to time.
We do. Yeah. I haven't counted up how many we've received recently, but I mean, we have at least 15 clients in mindfulness cases right now.
What is the status with the curriculum company and the schools?
So it varies. We've received different responses. Some school districts have decided to reevaluate whether they want to proceed with the mindfulness curriculum in the following year. A few have removed the more problematic quotes and mantras that they're playing in the classroom. But the majority of the responses, it's the same. And that is, this is not religious instruction. We're going to continue to do it.
You know, Andy, I thought about this. Remember we had those cases involving the five pillars of Islam, Jordan? You remember these two. Yeah. And that they were teaching the five pillars of Islam. You had to adopt a Muslim name. You bowed towards Mecca. You prayed five times a day. And they did this in a social studies class. We were aggressive about it because we thought it was wrong. But of course, we were looked at, you know, people say you're like a bigot to do that.
Yeah, well, we're not a bigot to do that. What they were doing was instilling a religious situation, a la T.E. Lawrence, you know, into the minds of these young kids. There's a difference between teaching the history of a religion,
right?
What it's about, how it developed, who advocated it, what their tenets are, what their beliefs are, and then taking a child and having him pick an animal, like a rat, and saying that I'm going to the spirit of the rat, and I'm going to be imbued with that, and I'm going to then somehow translate that into me, or somehow make some extraterrestrial.
Did you say spirit of the rat?
Well, I mean, that's what they're saying. Pick an animal, a spirit animal. Why not a rat? Pick anything. Pick a beaver. But I mean, pick stupid animals that you do that to. But I don't care whether it's stupid or not. You don't inculcate that as a religious tenet to a child.
I want to play for you an audio. You're going to hear the audio of a commercial we did about the work of the ACLJ, which sums up these exact cases.
I was at a board meeting at Jews for Jesus, and the executive director said, we've got a case. The Supreme Court had just granted review. It was about literature distribution at airports.
We wanted to have the Bible study meet in the school, but it turned into a problem when the principal said, no, you can't have it.
I told her that I wanted to sing Noel, and the principal said that we can't have anything to do with Christ in our songs.
We marched around the country defending evangelism in Chicago, in Boston, in New York, Atlanta, Texas, Southern California, Northern California, and points in between.
The IRS is expected to reveal the results of an internal investigation that shows the agency targeted conservative groups.
This was a complete misuse of the Office of the Internal Revenue Service.
We only persevered because the ACLJ was there.
The federal courts do not need to become monitors of state trespass actions, and that's all this is.
We were looking for the right to speak our minds and our consciences, and we won that right today.
Those of us that believe in life know that we're on the right side of history. We understand full well, children are children, and they're precious in God's sight, and they're precious in our nation's sight, and they're precious to parents.
Religious persecution is a situation where your life is literally put in jeopardy simply because of what you believe. Can you help? Can you do something? He's on death row, and so we launched an international campaign.
If we don't use that freedom to advocate for these people suffering under religious persecution, who will?
All right, folks, that tells you what we do at the ACLJ. Support our work at ACLJ.org. Matching challenge campaign in effect, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.